Next, we have Tyler Golden from University of Idaho and the USDA together to present the association mapping of yield component two row spring barley.
All right, good afternoon, and thanks to everyone for sticking around through this last afternoon session. Again, my name is Tyler. I'm out at the USDA ARS National Small Grains Collection. And for those of you not completely familiar with the collection, we're the USDA's collection site for small grains, including wheat, barley, oats, and rye. And this is a picture of some, you can see some of the diversity in the barley collection here. And then in the background, there's some rye accessions. And so today I'm going to be sharing with you some results from an association study with two row spring barleys from the NSGC. So this is kind of a roadmap for where the talk's going to go today. I'm going to give a little background on barley, then move into the design and layout of the experiments, and then talk a little bit about results, including traits and their distributions, and then move on to association analysis, and wrap up with a summary. So barley is, the species name is Hordeum vulgare. It's fourth in world cereal grain production. In 2014, there were 144 million metric tons harvested with an average yield of 2.9 metric tons per hectare. So that's equivalent to approximately 58 bushels per acre. It's a model cereal crop in that it's a diploid, which makes it a lot less tricky to work with than, say, wheat or oats, which are hexaploid. It's also adapted to poor soil conditions, including like high salinity or drought environments. Its uses primarily are for animal feed, 70%, malting, 13%, and the remainder for human consumption. The NSGC, or National Small Grains Collection, has over 34,000 accessions of barley. Over 22,000 of those are spring accessions, and nearly 7,000 are two-row. So the two-row, for those of you that aren't into barley, two-row barleys are generally used for malting. And so for this particular study, we used 480 of the two-row spring barley accessions. And we selected them from previous study materials developed by Maria Munoz, who I believe is here. plug your ears, close your eyes. But she developed this informative barley core consisting of little over 1,800 accessions. And so we picked from that informative core, which consisted of winter and spring habit and two and six row barleys, we just selected those two row spring habit types. And the improvement status of the accessions that we chose range from land races to breeding lines, and they spanned many continents, including Asia, North America, and Europe. So the objectives of this study, I mentioned that barley is a model cereal, and so we're kind of looking for accessions and QTL associated with grain yield and thousand kernel weight, but we also looked at many other agronomic traits aside from just kernel weight, but I'll just be reporting thousand kernel weight today. For the design, we used an augmented randomized pattern. So that means that Each accession was only replicated one time in each treatment, but five checks were replicated 12 times across the treatments. And the checks are listed there. These were some of the best and highest performing checks available to us. And these were grown out in 3 years in Aberdeen, Idaho. In 2010 is a hedgerow increase, 2013 plot increase, and 2014 plots with treatments. And this is a picture of the barley in the plots being grown in Aberdeen. For the treatments, again, these were applied only in 2014. Treatment one was the recommended levels of nitrogen and irrigation. Treatment two was recommended levels of nitrogen and terminal drought, so that treatment received three fewer irrigations than treatment one. And treatment three had both low nitrogen and terminal drought. And so we were actually adding the minimum amount of nitrogen to the field that we could using the equipment available. And the trait evaluations in 2010, we measured heading date and plant height. In 2013, heading date, plant height, lodging, 1,000 kernel weight. In 2014, a lot of those traits, and including like seed width, length ratio, volume, diameter, area, and 1,000 kernel weight. But again, I'm only going to report yield and 1,000 kernel. So these, now we're kind of moving into the results. This over on the left side, or the right side, that's the distribution of accession yields in treatment one, which again was the recommended levels of nitrogen and full irrigation. And this is the average highest check in blue and the average lowest check in red. And so there were 20 accessions here that were higher than the highest check. And the five best accessions are listed here with the check listed at the bottom right here. And so you can see most of these, of the highest yielding, 1,000 kernel weight accessions are land races. And this one from Kazakhstan also had a really high yield. And so for the low nitrogen terminal drought environment, again, here's the distribution of 1,000 kernel weights here. And then there were 40 some accessions that were higher than the highest check. And again, they consisted of land races, primarily. There's one genetic stock from Montana State. And for the highest yields, again, distribution with highest and lowest checks on the right side. And for the recommended nitrogen environment and full irrigation, most of these accessions were cultivars, so from New Zealand, Ukraine, and UK, and there's one land race from Switzerland. So we're kind of dubious to whether it's really a land race or not. But again, these had higher yields. These were the five highest yielding accessions, and they were much higher than tradition the Czech used. And for the low nitrogen terminal drought environment, again, distribution on the right, and then the five best performing accessions over here. And a couple of them are land races. The highest one is actually a land race from Ethiopia. And so then on to association mapping. So we took the results from this, and these accessions had previously been genotyped with the 9K barley iSelect SNP chip, and we removed markers with more than 20% missing data. We used Jump Genomics 8.1 to do the analysis and corrected for kinship and structure with IBS and PCA. And this is a PCA, a 3D PCA plot showing the accessions, and you can see this group right here is composed primarily of North Dakota state breeding lines, and this area right here is Ethiopian land races. And then to get significant markers, we corrected for FDR and a Fisher p-value adjustment and selected QTL with Q values over 0.1. And so I'm just going to show the best marker in each QTL that we found for 1,000 kernel weight here. We found two QTL on 7H and one on 2H with pretty low effects and significant but not super low p-values there. And then we found in the low nitrogen terminal drought environment, we found QTL on 4H, 5H, and 2 on 7H. And over here under this known column right here, NUD, that's the gene that regulates the whole or holus trait in barley. And this this marker right here has previously been shown to be associated or closely linked to that gene. And so it was found in both environments. And QTL for yield, we didn't find any QTL under the normal environment, which we were kind of expecting. And then under the low nitrogen terminal drought environment, we found four QTL, one on 2H, one on 6H, and two on 7H. And again, pretty low effects, but this QTL had previously been shown to be linked with heading date. So to kind of sum up our findings from the 1,000 kernel weight experiment, what we found was that 20 accessions had a higher 1,000 kernel weight than the best check. And of those, 50% were land races. And in the low nitrogen terminal drought environment, 46 accessions were better than the best check, and approximately 50% of those were land races too. So it kind of points to land races as being a good source or a reservoir for some of these agronomic traits if you're trying to incorporate them into, say, a breeding program. And then QTL on 2H, 4H, 5H, and 7H in addition to the QTL associated with the whole locus. And then this is a picture up in the upper right-hand corner. There we go. That shows, so this is the top five seeds are those from that, from the Ethiopian land race that had the really outstanding 1,000 kernel weight. And the bottom one is the best check. And you can't really see a difference, or at least I can't. And so it just shows that a lot of these traits, you can't just kind of you can't just look at them and say, okay, this is going to be an excellent accession we need to pursue it. You have to actually go through and measure the traits. And for a yield summary, in the recommended nitrogen full irrigation environment, there are 58 accessions that had a higher yield than the best accession, or than the best check, and 4% of those were land races, whereas in the low nitrogen terminal drought environment, there are 110 accessions better than the best check, and land races comprised a significantly higher proportion of those accessions, 13%. And potential new QTL on 2H, 6H, and 7H. This is a picture from GRIN, which is the online database where you can request germplasm, and it shows that super good yielding accession in the low nitrogen terminal drought environment. And so I just want to thank all these people did most of the work, and they're from University of Idaho and USDA. This was kind of a joint collaborative effort, and funding was provided through TCAP.
on the right side, you have the show the average of checks.
Yes.
That seems suggesting that you haven't standardized or processed the phenotype according to the deviation of the checks, so have you considered that already?
Not yet, no.
Okay, any other questions? Okay,
how did you choose the markers? What was it going to do? You choose the markers and did you
send them? Oh, the ones that I showed? So those were the highest markers in each of the QTL we found, and they exceeded the threshold of 0.1. Yeah, 0.1. For that's a Q value. Yeah.
Okay, thank you very much. Okay.